I want to bring a message this morning called The Condescension of Christ. Christ emptied himself. Christ coming down. It says here in verse 6, Philippians 2, Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That word humble means he emptied himself, poured himself out, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, in light of that, in light of him coming down, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now in these three verses that I just read to you, we trace our Lord's path from the very highest glory, being in the form of God, down to the deepest humiliation when he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. And then God took him, took him back to glory and set him at his own right hand and gave him all power and majesty in heaven. Says that in his name every knee is going to bow. And every knee in this universe one of these days is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. All them Mohammedans, all them people that love the Pope, all them people that follow Buddha, all them people that follow Confucius, all them people that follow these false gods and false idols, every single one of them is going to have to bow down. And everyone is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the creator and sustainer of this universe. That it's all life and all power and all glory is in his holy name. And he got to that seat at the right hand of God by way of a bloody cross. And everyone is going to acknowledge that one of these days. No matter what or who they worship here, they're going to do that, ain't they? And all of it. Now remember, I want you to remember this. We always have to view the scriptures in the context in which they're in. And as we do here, see, we see what the apostle's intention here is, and the Holy Spirit, what he wants us to see and understand. Starting here in verse 1, he did this. He exhorted believers. He says, if there is any consolation in Christ, and this is rhetorical. We know there's consolation in Christ, comfort of love in Christ, any fellowship of the Spirit that we have in Christ. If any hearts, that word bowels means the heart, your inward heart, your inner being, and mercies. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to fulfill my joy, that you'll be like-minded, that you'll have the same love, that you'll be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife. Don't strive over things. Don't do it because of vain glory. If you want glory, it's just vain glory. So there's no sense in striving over who's the best, who's the wisest, who's the strongest, who's the most dedicated. That's just vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what he's doing here is exhorting us as believers, as Christians, to spiritual fellowship among ourselves, to be like-minded, to love one another, to be of the same mind, same heart, same accord, to be humble, to be lowly, to esteem others better than ourselves. Now, what does he do to enforce this teaching? What does he do? Does he start telling you what you need to do? Start telling you how you need to act, how you need to start living in this world? No. How does he do it? But he says this right here, by setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you always do in the scriptures. No matter what exhortation you have, they always bring you to Christ. And when you go on past that, he brings you back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. I want you to be this way. And here he said, this is the way it's going to be. Let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery. And he goes to tell us about the mind of Christ. Let the mind, let the spirit, let the habit, let the self-denial, let the mind of self-sacrifice, let the mind of obedience, let the mind of lowliness and humility that our Lord had, let that mind be in you. Let it be in you. And so the Holy Spirit, He takes us back to the position that our Lord occupied in all eternity. All eternity takes us back there, where He had all the supreme dignity and honor and glory that was due Him and was given to Him. And then He takes us and shows us the unfathomable, unfathomable depths of condescension and humiliation our Lord went into for our sakes. Look what it says. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Who being in the form of God. Being in the form of God. You know what this tells us? That Christ was absolute deity. He is God. He was God. Huh? No creature, I don't care how high his position, no human being, no creature, angel, devil, the highest position in this world that a man may attain to, he could never be in the form of God. Could never attain that. Could never be in the form of God. I know that they have people that they exalt above God. And I know there's people that they say that they come to God by them and that. But this was Christ as the form of God. Huh? And these words describe the Son's relationship to His Father and to Godhead. He was in the form of God. He existed in that form. And is seen in Him alone. The form of God only in Christ. There's, you know, they say God's in a tree. You can worship nature. God's in a building. God's never in a building. He said, I don't dwell in temples made by hand. And they say, boy, you can see Him in that stream. You don't see God in the streams. You don't even see God in the stars. You see the Creator. You see Him who made and upholds it by the word of His power. But you don't see God. Because that's not the form of God. That's just the handiwork of God. That's just the creation of God. If you want to see God in form, it's in Christ alone. Huh? And look over here in Colossians, right over to the right. Colossians 1:15, look what it says here. Not only is He in the form of God, is seen in Him alone. You know, I tell you what, back when I was a Mary and I were hippie years and years ago, and there's still people this way. They had a newspaper they put out called Mother Earth. You know, everybody was supposed to go to be green back then, what they call green now, Mother Earth. Earth ain't no mother. The devil just got something he always throws in your way to cause you to worship, to keep you from Christ. And so look what here, but God, Christ was the form of God. Look what it says here in verse 15, Colossians 1. Here's what I'm talking about. Who is the image? Who is? Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, if God's invisible, how are we going to see Him? Christ took on the form of God. God is spirit. You can't see Him. God's everywhere, but yet Christ took the form of God. God took form, and He took that form in the person of His blessed Son. And you know where He says the glory of God's at now? He said if you want to see the glory of God, you want to see where God's glory is manifested at, where God revealed His glory to us at, it's in the person, the face of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you another in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Just to show you that what it means for Christ to be in the form of God. Hebrews 1:3. This just shows how the relationship of the Son is to the Godhead, to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Look what it says there in verse 3. I was talking about Christ, who being the brightness of His glory. Now listen to it. And the express image of His person. What's the express? And you know they'll say, boy, He's the spitting image of His Father. the spitting image of his mother. That's what this said. He's the express image of God. You want to know what God looks like? Christ took the form of God. Christ is the visible God, invisible God made visible. Christ is the express image. God, whatever he looks like, is Christ. He took the form of God. And I tell you, beloved, the whole nature of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ declared God out and expressed God to us. We wouldn't know God. We couldn't know God. We couldn't find God. We couldn't discover God. So God came in the form. And he took a form, and it was in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what it says back over here in Philippians. There in verse 6 again. It says, Who being? You can't speak of somebody, of a divine person, as existing. You know, he's self-existing. He don't start existing. He's self-existing. You and I are not self-existing. We have to live on something. We have to live by certain things. We can't exist without food, without water, without God, without life, without heart, without blood. But God don't need any of those things. He don't need to be fed. He don't need the sunshine. He don't need to grow. He don't need water. He don't need anything. He's God. He's self-existent. Who being? So our Lord Jesus Christ, when it says here he's in the form of God, he was always in the form of God. When he was in eternity, as he was with his Father, he was in the form of God. God never expressed himself except through his Son. He never manifested himself to anybody except through his Son. When Moses was standing on that mountain and that bush caught on fire, who do you think that was? He said, who do you say spoke out of that bush and take off your shoes? You stand on holy ground. That was Christ. And all of his visible glory, all of his majesty, all of his sovereignty. From eternity, the Son was clothed with deity. He took the form. He was in the form of God, always in the form of God. And then look what it says after that. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now what in the world does this mean? The Son did not reckon equality with the Father and the Holy Spirit as usurping any authority from them. That's what that means. Now, if somebody else sought to make themselves equal with God in any way, it would be robbery. It'd be robbery. You see, our Lord Jesus considered equality with God as what was justly his. It was his right to do that. Huh? Now, I want to show you something over here in Isaiah 14. You know, our Lord said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. And when we hear somebody lying on God, we hear somebody dishonoring God. And there, you know how many people are in this world who claim to be the Son of God? Who claim to be the Messiah? You know how many are in this world right now that claim that? You know how many people are in Israel over there with long hair and got a robe on saying that I'm the Messiah? You know how many is over there right now? Do you know that there is people in this world that got people that worship them who claim to be the Son of God? There's a black man in Florida that claims to be Yahweh ben Yahweh, Son of God. And he has got hundreds and hundreds and thousands of followers. Claims to be the Son of God. Now, is he equal with God? Does he have any equality with God? He's equal to me. He's a man. He's equal to me. He's a sinner. He's equal to me. He's dependent on God. He's equal to me. He's got to breathe to live. He's equal to me. He's got a heart that beats. But there's nobody equal with God. Anybody that claims equality with God is robbing God. That's why our Lord said, all that ever came before me is a thief and a robber. And it disgusts us and angers us when we see somebody that claims any kind of equality. There's people that command God to do things. And our Lord said, it's not. Our Lord esteemed such equality as He did not take any prerogative from God to all the honor and glory of God. Look what it says here in Isaiah 14:12. Here's a person who tried to have equality with God. And look what happens. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, watch it now, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. As Satan claiming equality with God, look what happened to him. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Oh, our Lord had equality with God. Let me show you this. I know I'm going to let you look. Look in John chapter 5 with me just a moment. John 5:18. This is one of the reasons why they crucified our Lord. Is because He claimed to be one with God. And you know the Jews said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And truly, God is one. One. They're one in will, one in purpose. Our salvation is by God. It's by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One God in three persons. I don't know how to explain that, but that's the way it is. God the Father purposed our salvation. God the Son purchased our salvation. God the Holy Spirit applies that salvation and works it in us. What Christ done for us. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, they despised Him and hated Him because they said, here's God and God can't be seen. God can't be touched. God can't be handled. God's glory, you know, we don't even use His name. The Jews wouldn't even use His name, Jehovah. But here's this man who comes into this world and he says, I'm God. I and my Father are one. Look what he said here in John 5:18. Verse 17, look what he says. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, that's bad enough, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Look over to John chapter 10. Now, if you know, I was in the hospital years and years ago with a fella. He decided one day that he was a prophet and that God called him, and he took off all of his clothes and started walking down the street preaching. And of course, I wasn't in the best mental condition at the time, but they brought this fella in. He was the Son of God. He was going to go out there and preach and convince everybody he was. God told him to take off all his clothes and go tell about it. And that's where they put him in a mental hospital. And you know, there's lots of folks in that condition because they claim this equality. And oh my, when Christ claimed equality, he wasn't lying. He was, because he was equal with God. Is he equal in power? Is he equal in honor? Is he equal in glory? Is he equal in sovereignty? Huh? Is he equal in creation? Did the Father ever do anything apart from the Son? Did the Son ever do anything apart from the Father and the Father's will and the Father's purpose? Look here in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Our Lord answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Now watch what they said. Now Jews answered and saying, we're not going to stone you for a good work. No, no, that's not the reason. We're going to stone you for blasphemy. Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Who being in the form of God. Oh my. The Lord Jesus, and this is something about human beings. We don't want to be equal. You remember when the Lord went out and the husbandman went out one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, hired some fellows to go to work. 9 o'clock, he went out and hired some more. Noon, he went out and hired some more. 3, he went out and hired some more. And at 5 o'clock, they worked from 6 to 6. At 5 o'clock, he went out and hired some more. Those fellows that came in at 11 o'clock, they was the last. And he is the first one in line to get paid. And he agreed to firm for a penny. They all go work for a penny. Those fellows that came in at 11 hours, they lined up to get their money. The last shall be first. And here they come. They get their, they give them a penny. That fella come in at 12 o'clock and said, that's not right. That fella come in at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's not right. You are making them equal with us and we've labored all day long. And you want to make them equal with us? They can't be equal with us. And that's the way this religious world is. We're so far above everything and everybody else that you can't be equal with us. The Pharisee says that the publican can't be equal with me. But beloved, you can't turn your hand for the difference in any member of the human race any time. You can't do it, can you? But that's what man, he don't want people to be equal. Everybody wants to be just a little different, a little better, a little stronger, a little wiser, a little bit more dedicated. But here Christ was equal with God. Nah, the Lord Jesus possesses, did possess on earth, a glory equal with God's, with a right to that glory, and thought it not robbery to claim it. Now, if he was just a finite man, there can't be no equality between the infinite and the finite. There can't be no equality between the eternal and the temporal. There can't be no equality between the creature and the creator. Can there? No. Even when we have the body of Christ, we enter into eternity. You think we're going to be equal with God? In no way, shape, form, or fashion. We'll still be dependent on God. We'll still be living by grace. We'll still be trusting Him. We'll still be worshiping Him. We'll still be obeying Him. We'll still delight in Him. The only thing is we won't have this faith to contend with. But we'll never, ever be equal with Christ. Never be equal with God. We'll still be the Creator. We'll still be the creature. And it's impossible for there to be any equality. God said, I am God, and who is like unto me? Christ said, I am. And everybody said, amen. Huh? For any creature to reckon himself to be equal with God would be the highest robbery and the highest blasphemy. You know that. And then look what it says again in our text here in Philippians 2. Not only was he in the form of God, he was always in the form of God. God manifested himself only in Christ. He was the image of the invisible God. And then he wasn't robbing God to be equal with God. He never claimed something that wasn't his right, that wasn't his glory, wasn't his honor that belonged to him. If I did it, I'd be a robber. I'd be an idiot. I'd be a fool. But he made himself. Here's this man who is in the form of God. Here's this man who's equal to God. It has all the glory of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, the sovereignty of God, equal with God in every way. But look what he did. Made himself of no reputation. Instead of our Lord Jesus insisting, this is what I'm talking about. He started out up here, this high form of God, not robbery to be equal with God. Then he comes down, makes himself of no reputation. Instead of our Lord insisting upon His right as a member of the Godhead, you know what He did? He voluntarily gave Him up. Gave Him up. He willingly set aside His glory as the Creator. Look what it says. And took upon Him the form of a servant. Oh my. He not only that, but when it went on down and says this, and was made in the likeness of men. Here's God. Here's one equal with God in every way. But everyone cursed Him and blasphemed Him, made Him of no reputation. He said, I have. He took the form of a creature, took the form of a servant, and came in the likeness of fallen men. He left the highest position of supremacy and came down here and became a creature, a servant. This is what I'm talking about. When He was washing His disciples' feet, He came to Simon Peter and He says, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? You'll not wash my feet. That's what He told me. He took the form of a servant. Peter says, you're not going to do that. Our Lord said, if I don't, you ain't going to have no part with me. Only way you have a part with me is you to enter into this humility with me. And oh my, for what I've done. And that's what He did. He took this form of a servant. And He, for the joy that was set before Him, even though He was equal in majesty, equal with glory with His Father, He resigned Himself to His Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, not to do mine, but the will of Him that sent me. That's my real reason to be here. And what condescension, what lowliness, what humility that He who was in the very form of God itself, let His glory be hid, let it be eclipsed, and His honor laid down right in the very dust. Right in the dust. When He was in that garden, He got down and prayed till His sweat became as great drops of blood. He let men slap Him. He who made woman was made of a woman. He who created this world was made a creature. He who upholds man and gives man his very being and existing in Him, whose life is the light of men, humbled Himself and made in the likeness of sinful man. And not only that, but He humbled Himself to the most shameful death. The death of the cross, the death of a criminal, the death of one that you don't crucify a man unless he's guilty of a crime. And Christ humbled Himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, this shameful death. And there He is hanging, humiliated and shamed and cursed and wagged at and blasphemed. Said He saved others, but He can't even save Himself. He starts saying, Eloi, Eloi. They said He calls Elijah. Let's send Elijah come and save Him. He says He's God. Let's see if God will come and save Him. Fellows walk around the cross and clear their throat and spit at it. Here's God. Here's one who's equal with God. With all of His glory and all of His power and all of His name. He walked on the water. He fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He spoke. Lazarus come forth and he that was dead came forth. He stood on the helm of a little boat and said, peace be still. And a storm laid down at His feet. He was equal with God in every way. But He emptied Himself. Master, they had to wake Him up. Don't you care that we perish? There's His glory eclipsed. Stood at the helm of that ship, said, peace be still. There's His glory manifested. And so He emptied Himself of that. Let Himself become utter and absolute weakness in the form of a servant, the likeness of man. And let them do what they would with Him. You want to slap me? Slap me. Prophesy, you're a prophet. Who smote you? Say yourself a king. Here's your scepter. Here's your reed. We went out and got this out of the river. Here's your reed. Hold this reed. That'll be your scepter. You say you're a king. Here's this purple robe. Let's put this around. You say you're a priest. That you're offering yourself a sacrifice for others. If you're a priest, save yourself. Come off that cross. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Oh, my. That's what he did. He humbled himself to the most shameful, ignominious death that anybody's ever suffered in this world. I don't care what a human being has been subjected to in this world. It's just one sinner subjecting another sinner to some kind of humiliation. But here you're subjecting the eternal God. He that's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. One whose very soul was holy, body was holy, mind was holy. It was sinful man creating the sinless to the deepest shame and humiliation ever known in this world in time or eternity. I know you say, boy, I do. I read about things that people done. They burnt people at the stakes. The Romans turned. They'd take Christians and light them up at night and use them, burn, set them on fire and use them to light up the streets with for folks to walk up and down the street. But that's just one creature mistreating another creature. That's just one sinner mistreating another. But this is the whole human race attacking the most holy, glorious being, eternal God, who did no guile, who did no sin, no guile found in his mouth, who dwelt in eternity, to the high and lofty one, the holy one, who has, we took him, and when we got our hands on him, we mistreated him like nobody's ever been mistreated in this world. Because it's who it was that was mistreated. That's what it says. He took upon himself the form of us, took upon him the form of a servant. And when he took upon him the form of a servant, he didn't cease to be what he was. He still was the form of God. He still was equal with God. But he became something and assumed something he had not never been before. Here is the form of God. Now he takes upon him the form of a man, the form of a servant. And oh me, God cannot cease to be God, no matter what form He takes. No matter what they do to Him, He cannot cease to be God. No more than He's not God can become God. When our Lord, in taking upon Himself the form of a servant, gave up none, not one, of His glorious attributes. Not one of them. You know what sovereignty it took for him to submit himself to the hand of men? You know what might it took for him to be led as a lamb to the slaughter? Do you know what might and power it took for him to be made to be sin? Do you know what power it took for him to utter those seven utterances from the cross to fulfill every verse of Scripture concerning him? You know what power it took? You know what might it took? You know what glory it took? You know what strength it took? So he didn't lay aside any of his attributes when he took upon himself the form of a servant. Oh my. But his majestic glory was obscured when they looked at him. They couldn't see. They couldn't see God there. They couldn't see his attribute. They couldn't see his majesty. They couldn't see his strength. They couldn't see his power. All they could see is weakness. All they could see is humiliation. All they could see is the shame and the power they had over him. But oh my. But listen, two different things. The Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. But before we saw that, Isaiah 53:2 says, He was a root out of dry ground. There was no beauty about Him, no glory about Him, no form about Him, no comeliness about Him that we should desire Him. Both in the same person. Here's the form of God, equal with God. Now He is the form of a servant, the likeness of men. There He is in His glory. There He is in His flesh. Still God. Still powerful. Who is this? Look over with me in 1 Timothy. Who is this? Who was this that had the ability to empty himself, to conceal his glory from the world by becoming a servant? 1 Timothy 3:16, I'll show you. Who is this? Who was this that had the ability to empty himself, to humble himself, to become obedient unto death? Who as in the form of God, thought not robbery be equal to God, but took him the form of a servant, found in likeness as a man, hid his glory. Who is this that became this servant? Verse 16, 1 Timothy 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, the form of God. Justified in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit claimed His, showed His equality with the Father over and over and over. The angels saw Him. And oh my, He'd been preached unto the Gentiles. And He believed on. We saw His glory. We saw His emptying. We saw Him come in His glory. We saw Him empty Himself of His glory. Saw Him ascend back to glory. Believed on in the world. And what is He? Received back up in glory. Oh my, this is it. And it says He took upon Him the form of a servant. This is the great condescension. It's impossible, absolutely, utterly impossible for me to grasp how far our Lord stooped. The Scripture said in Psalm 113, verse 6, the Lord humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Now, if God humbles Himself to look at things that's going on in heaven, you know why He has to humble Himself? Because everything's beneath Him. And Christ, if He's God, do you know how far, if God humbles Himself to see what's in heaven, how far down our Lord Jesus Christ stooped? How far down He came? How low He came? Being the form of God, to be equal with God, taking upon Himself the form of a servant, to be found like me and you as a man. And not only that, but then humbling Himself, emptying Himself, to death. The death of the cross. What a... He entered into an office which placed Him below God. He told His disciples, says, you know, if you loved Me, you would rejoice. You would rejoice. For I'm going back to My Father, and My Father's greater than Me. That's how He humbled Himself, even to being subjected to the will of God. And for a season, He was made a little lower than the angels. Why? That He, by the grace of God, should taste death. And oh my, He who stood on the mountain and took His finger and wrote those Ten Commandments on the law, on those stones, He was made under the law. He who made a woman was made of a woman. And He was made lower than the ordinary condition of a man was. Let me show you this in closing. Psalm 22. He was made lower than any ordinary man. And I would not say this. I would not. Talking to a dear brother the other day, there's no way in the world we would use such language. It wouldn't even enter our mind to think of God and think of Christ this way, had not Christ Himself said it. Talking about His humiliation, His coming down, His condescension. Look what it said in verse 6. Psalm 22. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. What? Men don't even want to be called a worm. God said, O thou worm Jacob. And Christ said, I'm a worm and no man. Now you talk about humiliation. They change hymn books because they don't want to be called wretches anymore. Don't want to be called sinners anymore. And our Lord Jesus Christ took the form of God. He was in the form of God. Was equal with God. Humbled Himself. Took upon Him the form of a servant. He waited on us. Waited on His people. Done for His people. Humiliated Himself for His people. Subjected Himself not only to God but to the hands of sinful men. Can you? Can you believe that He would humble Himself and empty Himself? Do you see His glory? Do you see the glory in Him being like that? Do you see the glory of Him emptying Himself? Do you see the glory of Him humbling Himself? And do you see now His glory where God says, "Wherefore God hath highly also exalted Him and given Him a name"? Oh, God gave Him a name. What's in a name? In Christ, it's everything. What's in a name? In Christ is salvation. What's in a name? In Christ it's all power. What's in a name? In Christ it's all authority. What's in a name? In Christ it's all glory. Do you see it? Do you see it? Will you in your heart say, "Lord, I'm going to bow my knee to His name right now. I'm going to confess in my heart that He's Lord. And oh, I'm going to in my heart say, God, to You be the glory. To You be the glory. Great things You have done." Would you do that? Can you do that? God help you to do it. Our Father, in the blessed, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for allowing us to meet here today with Your people, with Your saints. Thank You for the gospel. And oh Lord, I know we have this treasure and it's in earthen vessels. Just an earthen clay pot. That the glory might be of God. That the power might be manifested of God. And Lord, take the gospel today. Oh Holy Spirit, take these things of Christ in spite of the vessel and make it true to the heart. Make it true to the mind. Reveal in open hearts and minds to where men and women can see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory. His glory even in His humiliation. God help us please to honor and magnify Him and Him alone. We ask in His holy name. Amen. Amen.